Long ago, far away, life was clear. Close your eyes.
Do you have a memory, a first memory?
Processions.
Processions.
That's what really caught my attention, yes.
Of course, you went to Catholic schools because the nuns wouldn't allow you out to play with the children, which is understandable.
Remember is a place from long ago. Remember, filled with everything you know.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing well, yes. Okay. For an old person, yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're always doing well. I admire you, to be honest.
She's very strong.
She's very strong.
Strong, yeah.
I can't say you're two young women because you're not both young.
Oh,
I can't say
you had to do that, Father. No, huh? Come on.
Remember, life is never as it seems.
Today, meet the life of our good friend and Winds of Change contributor, Jerry Spetz, who passed into eternal life this Monday morning.
Sochi Milbo. XO something. I don't
that
know.
That sounds like Japan, doesn't it?
I'll go to Japan.
It was. Like it was my aunts were in Mexico in the 1940s.
Say it again, please.
I don't think I would dare.
Say it in a sentence, please.
Have you ever been to Sochi Milko?
Never heard of that place before.
Oh, yeah. Floating Gardens.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, geez. Welcome, everybody. Oh, Armin, why did you do this to us? this is not going to be an easy show.
No, it's not.
No.
So as everybody knows now, Geraldine passed away. So we can't have, silence on the radio.
I
but
know.
That was beautiful, Armin. Thank
it
you.
It was.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
I hadn't heard that. I knew you had prepared something, and I thought we were going to do what we normally do, Armin, go into the radio, and I was going to announce that Jerry had passed away, and then we would eventually hear that. But this was. I didn't want to come to the show crying. But
it's a good thing you don't know that you just come in and do what you do.
It's the way life is, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but God bless her, you know, and we're happy for her. Really, yeah. We are. But she passed away yesterday.
Monday. In her sleep, like she wanted to.
But she suffered a lot the last week. Christina was there, and Tony, you were there too.
Yeah, we went on Saturday
and Sunday.
Sunday. Oh, I'm sorry, Sunday.
Yeah, and that was part of the thing, because Christina called me from the hospital. I saw her a couple of days before, mm-hmm. and she and I knew, just seeing her, I knew that she wouldn't be back. But how do they do that on TV when somebody? I've watched that when people pass away, and everybody is just so, you know,
yeah,
we're babies over here. No, we're human. We're human
we're
beings.
Human.
Yeah. We have hearts, and not that they don't have hearts on the TV, but anyway, the
you went on Wednesday, Father.
It was Wednesday, so Christina called. You guys were all there
on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And she. But I was in between masses actually, because I was between them.
Sure.
Getting ready for the 5:30. I mean, I had a little bit of time. But there's no way I could have made it out to the hospital. So I thought, well, and at that point, it wasn't that she was dying. It was just that she was weakened. But I think Christina had that intuitive sense, and I think that's why you called. And so when you called, I kind of thought, well, I got to get out there. And then I thought, you know, I'll get there. Certainly, I'll be there in the morning. And after the mass in the evening, but I was just completely exhausted.
Yeah, sure.
And so Monday morning I got up and I was ready, dressed, ready to go. I just was coming down, and I was just getting ready to leave the room, and Christina called and said that she, Geraldine,
had
just
passed away.
Just passed away, just got the word.
Gene went Monday morning, and then they told him, gave him the news, and so I was getting ready to come here. And the phone rang, and I saw his number, and I knew. I just knew it. even like when we were there with Tony, Tony led the chaplet, and she was very lucid, you know.
Yeah.
She prayed the chaplet with us. It was very hard. And even when she was in the hospital, when I saw her, it reminded me of my grandmother.
Your grandma, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, oh, no, I see her the same, I see the same things going on here with, like, with my grandmother. But we were there, we made her laugh, and she was her own, you know, feisty self.
Yeah,
cantankerous.
She was...
I call her cantankerous.
Yeah. It was funny, but... at least we were there. She did say she was scared, and we told her, well, we're here with you. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
We love you very much. And we told her that you were having all the masses, offering them for her, and parishioners were sending their love and their prayers, their thoughts and prayers were with her.
Yeah, geez, that's going to be a loss. I mean, it is a loss.
It is,
I mean,
it's a loss.
And actually, I told somebody, but you know what, and I, to be honest, and you know, see, we talk about this around here. We're not,
sure.
We're people of faith, so we're not, you know, there's a natural fear.
Yes.
Of the unknown and all that. But I mean, my gosh, Jerry, for the last, I'd say the last couple of months, she kept saying, you know, I'm so ready to go.
Yes.
You know, because people, if you didn't see her, I mean, it was amazing. Your father called her, and I mentioned this in the, because I wrote up something for the bulletin today, and I called her the Iron Lady. Because your father mentioned that to me this morning. I said, that's so true. She was the Iron Lady.
Yeah.
Because she, if you hadn't seen her, I mean, already for years now, her body was so broken.
Yes.
She had this broken body. And yet she was here every day. I mean, every day.
Driving all the way. She wasn't too close.
Poor Christina. It's going to be so hard for you
because she's your
confidant.
She was my buddy.
So when Christine would have issues with me, she knew that Geraldine would give her the ear. And although Geraldine would always defend me as well, I'm certain of that.
Yes, we would have.
She would.
What do you call it? Complaining fest?
Yes,
I mean, it was something else, but I'm not going to say it. But I would call her every day.
Every day.
She would call me, or even a couple of times. She's the one person I told someone that she kept me sane. I mean, she was so, her wisdom, her strength,
sure,
and she had a strong faith as well, kept me going. She was like my grandmother. I lost my grandmother 3 years ago, and she was like my grandmother, very much like my grandmother, too. My grandma was a feisty woman.
But the difference, I think, Christina, and this isn't by no means to diminish the importance of your grandmother,
mm-hmm.
your grandmother, you know.
But
I was thinking about this in the last couple of days. We're here today. We're here every day together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is a family.
It's family.
And it's a family. And so she's the first person I would see in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, and I was right, I think she just came for my coffee, you know, because I don't know anybody that drinks so much coffee as Geraldine. And I introduced her to the Italian coffee, and then to the Turkish in the last several months. And she would, you know, that's very, very strong coffee. And so when I would prepare it, and I'd do it maybe twice a day or something, and at one time I had prepared it, she wasn't here because she had blood work done,
mm-hmm.
and Christina called her and told her that I had coffee, so she that there's coffee. Wait, so she came, right? She came because the coffee was there.
Yeah, and you threw it away, right?
I don't, yeah, I,
yeah, yeah
maybe I did,
did yeah,
but
it
she
was
came.
Old, yeah.
It was, yes, because it was old then.
Yeah.
But she would eat. Turkish, you almost have to eat Turkish coffee because it's like,
yeah.
Yeah. So she would, normally you have one or maybe two shots because it's very short. They're just a little bit because they're so strong. But I would have to prepare her three. Now two small ones in the real Turkish cups, which are little tiny, what do they call those? Demitas cups, or little tiny cups. Like for a dollhouse or something, you know.
She needed a little something extra. You know,
right, so I'd prepare her two, and then one big cup, you know,
with it,
and she would drink it all. It was just great.
Like nothing.
Like nothing. But she, you know, talk about a woman of faith.
One woman of faith. Yeah. She was so strong. Even the day that we were there, Sunday, I told her, because that movie, The Wonder Woman, is out. I said, you know, Jerry, you're Wonder Woman. You are the bionic woman.
Really?
I told her that.
Well, God,
I admire you because you are so strong. I wish I could be half as strong as you are. We were like crying when we were praying the chaplet.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't.
And she was She wasn't crying. And she's so strong. My gosh.
The funny thing too is I was thinking, and that's what I guess that's what I was there for. It was 3 o'clock. I automatically was thinking the chaplet.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Well, can you lead us in it? You can pray the chaplet." Oh, it's beautiful. It's exactly what I wanted to do, but not want to do in a way. Yeah,
was, so you should have been a priest.
Because I knew I wouldn't be able to go through it, and I was crying.
Like we were all
baby
crying. Wow.
So you made her feel that.
That's the one thing, and you know, she was happy for that.
Sure.
Yes.
Thank you, and I'll never forget. She said, "Oh, I'm glad you guys are here. Yeah. Thank you for being here."
Just seeing
and
your
I never felt so.
Because when we got there, she said she was scared.
Yeah.
And just seeing us, and then we started joking with her, talking about the good times on the radio.
Sure.
Remember that one time you were on the roll with this, and she was laughing, and then she was back into her old self.
Sure.
Back into character. And she said, "You know, I am so, you don't know how much I am so happy that you're here with me."
Yeah, no, I can imagine.
And she kept on saying, "Jesus, have mercy on me." She was saying, and other things, but.
And other things we won't mention.
Yeah, we won't say on the radio.
Because that was Jerry, you know?
That was Jerry.
I was her confessor, so she went to confession all the time. Yeah, she was all the time. Can you hear my confession today? I said, "Yes, Jerry." You know, that was that one a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, when she was here, I said, "Well, you know, I had a full morning. Somebody had to go to confession." So, but no, she was a wise woman.
She was
very wise.
She was very wise.
She loved Armin.
She did.
She loved a
lot
of people.
She just loved Armin, and Jerry got along just fine, didn't she?
She loved a lot of people.
She loved Nick too. Yeah, Nick.
She did love Nick.
Nick was broken up yesterday. Nick almost made me cry yesterday because I had come downstairs and he was so moved. You know, it's just part of the family. It's like we're all here together every day.
It's a big loss.
But she prayed. She prayed for people. She was always praying for people. She's got. You can go into her office, which is the vault.
Yes.
And she's got pictures of so many people who were sick and people who have already died, and she was praying for them and.
She prayed a lot. The Liturgy of the Hours.
Liturgy of the Hours. She was
an
avid reader. I mean, my gosh, she read the encyclopedia. She probably read the encyclopedia.
Well, she was like the walking encyclopedia. Yeah. You could ask her anything and she knew.
Exactly. She would proofread my letters every week. And I was thinking about that every week for how many years has she done that, you know? So she came here in 2003. And she said it was the best thing that ever happened to her, was coming to St. Stan's.
And this was her family. And a Thursday she called. I had gone to see her 2 weeks ago, Saturday.
Uh-huh.
She was admitted Friday. Then I went back Tuesday. And then I was going to go back maybe the weekend, Saturday. And she called me Thursday. And she said, "Can you please come see me? I miss you. I need to see you." And I was very tired. I was busy and... It was after 6, I think. So I left, and I was there till almost 10. And I was showing her. She missed the procession, the Corpus Christi procession. And so I showed her all the pictures. She was so happy. And we joked. I showed her some other things. And that was very comforting.
Yeah, she was part of the full life of the parish.
She
was. With her walker.
Yes.
Because, again, if you don't see her, you didn't see her. Unless you were here, you heard her, you know, and hearing her and seeing her are two different things because she really, her body was so broken for so long. And yet she drove to work, to this family, to this place every day, just about every day, unless she had a doctor's appointment or something. And she, speaking of driving, you know, so I was, had to go, to the airport. So I needed a ride. I could have taken the train. It's just right over here. But she offered to take me, and I didn't want to say no because she really wanted to take me to the airport. And I thought, well, my gosh, I just hope I can get there in one piece, you know, because this was not that long ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I just thought that she was going to be like this little old lady.
Like
driving very slow
down
the expressway. Like, yes, exactly.
Not sure.
I've got to be there on time, and then I get there in one piece? You know how it is when somebody's just kind of putting along on the expressway. Well, we hit that expressway, and it was like a bat out of hell. I mean, she was, talk about
a
lead foot.
She was Grandma Dynamite.
Weaving in and out of cars and all that. And I said, I had to say, Jerry, you can slow down a little bit, okay? So, but she drove every day she came, yes. up until she couldn't.
2 weeks ago.
Until she had a little bit of an accident. And thank God the accident, and she even said, you know, it was at her house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was backing the car into her garage and accidentally hit the accelerator, mm-hmm. and took down the whole wall of the garage and
right into
the porch. And she was back here the next day. I
never forget that she called me and she told me what had happened. And I was at work and I couldn't take the call.
Yeah.
But the minute I saw it was Jerry, I went, you know, excuse myself to the back there and I listened to the call. I'm calling. I said, "You okay, Jerry? Jerry's everything right?" "Well, yeah, I need you to take me to church." Yeah. "I need you to get there at 7 o'clock.
Right.
I said, "Jerry, whatever you need, I'm here for you." And we took her, she came, went right to, and I knew she was in pain because we could tell. But then later on,
the whole wall of the garage was on the ground. It was, the whole back wall was gone.
Right here.
You know, and she was back at the church the next day, mm-hmm. and she kept coming.
And she was worried about who's going to do the collection. Very responsible.
Super, super responsible. That responsible. This is the one thing that she had this, just an heroic mm-hmm. sense of responsibility. She's wired that way.
Yeah.
That
Saturday when she had the accident, and she was here earlier for the baptisms.
Right. She had been
so
here all day.
We sat together. Yeah.
That's right.
And then she said, "I'm going to go home." But she was so happy to be here, to be with her family.
Yeah, there was a couple of things going on. We have a funeral? Was it Angelica's family?
Oh, there was a funeral.
There was.
Her brother-in-law.
Yeah, she was there for that too.
Yeah, Angelica.
Yeah, that's right. She had been here all day in the church, you know.
She had been here for the morning mass and then stayed. Yeah, but she was so happy and then went home and she called me. "I'm all shooken up. What happened?" "Oh, I had this accident." And I'm like, "Jerry, are you okay?" "No, I'm okay." I'm like, "You need to go to the hospital. I'll take you. I'll take you right now. I'll go pick you up and take you." No, I'm okay. I need to be there tomorrow. The collection. That was on her mind.
Yeah, because I told her. She called me, too, and I says, "No, Jerry, you get over here. You got to be here tomorrow."
"You got to count that money."
"You better be here."
No, not really. I didn't do that. But
no, she was here. And the whole week, and she would call me, or I would call her, and she would be in pain. She was in pain. Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you."
I was like, "Jerry, you need to go to the hospital. We'll take you." "No, I'm okay." And finally, she went in. But she was...
And that was it.
I just was so strong.
And I think the fear wasn't... Because, as I said, you know, the last several months, she's... Really, how many times she spoke to me about being ready. Mm-hmm. Every time we had coffee, I think she was... And that's every day she would talk about that she really wanted to go. She was ready to go.
Yeah.
She was ready to go. And the fear, I'm almost 100% sure when she described the fear, she was afraid of what was going to happen to her.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw her last week, she kept saying, you know, this is, she just kept saying, I know, like dear Jesus on the cross, I can somehow understand. But it's that they wanted to do all these procedures and... She was in so much pain, they couldn't even, you know, she couldn't lie down. And just to see her in her bed, she was just kind of shriveled up because it was just so sad to see.
Yeah.
And that's why I have to say, quite honestly, as much as we'd love to have her here, and I mean that really sincerely, I'm glad that the Lord took her sooner.
She was suffering a lot.
So that she didn't have to go through all that suffering and that she wouldn't end up in a nursing home or... Because that wouldn't, she couldn't, that would be, that would be the end for her, you know. And she just, she evidently, Christina, you said that she died during the night in her sleep.
In her sleep, and that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
She said, "I just want to go to sleep and just not wake up."
Yeah.
Go home.
God bless her. She's.
Even like last year when I got sick and I told her I thought I wasn't going to make it. And she said, "No, you're going to be here because you are going to be singing at my funeral."
And you will.
And I will.
That's right. So let's take a break, and we shall be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Long ago, far away, life was
memory, a first memory?
Processions.
Processions,
that's what really caught my attention, yes.
Of course, you went to Catholic schools because the nuns wouldn't allow you out to play with the children, which is understandable.
Remember is a place from long ago. Remember, filled with everything you know.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing well, yes. Okay. For an old person, yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're always doing well. I admire you, to be honest.
Yes, Jerry's strong.
She's very strong.
Strong, yeah.
I can't say you're two young women because you're not both young.
Oh,
I can't
you
say
had to do that, I Father. No, huh? Come on.
Remember, life is never as it seems. Dreams.
Today, we celebrate the life of our good friend and Winds of Change contributor, Jerry Spatz, who passed into eternal life this Monday morning.
Sushi Milbo, XO something, I don't
that
know.
That sounds like Japan, doesn't it?
I'll go to Japan.
It wasn't. Like it was my aunts were in Mexico in the 1940s.
Say it again, please.
I don't think I would care.
Say it in a sentence, please.
Have you ever been to Sushi Milbo?
Never heard of that place before.
Oh, yeah. Floating Gardens.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, jeez. Welcome back, everybody. Our Geraldine, our Jerry. Boy, that's hard, Armin, listening to that, I'll tell you.
It's, Jerry.
God give her rest.
And even yesterday, Father, like I said, I called her every day. Even when I went to Mexico, before I went, she said,
sure.
Oh, I'm going to miss you terribly. I'm like, why? Well, you know, we talk. I'm like, I'm still going to call you. It doesn't matter if I've gone, I'm going to drop you just because I'm in Mexico.
Sure.
So I did. I called her. And she would get happy. And even yesterday, I said, oh, I'm going to call Jerry. Oh, no, she's gone.
Yeah, you know what I did yesterday?
Oh, my gosh.
I think I was telling you. I had gone to, I went to visit Michael Sawinski because he's in the hospital. And they were very, very good friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he used to count the money with her in the vault on Sundays. And they were just very, very good friends. Mm-hmm. And so he's in the hospital as well. So I thought, well, you know, I don't want to just call him on the phone and tell him. So I went to Resurrection mm-hmm. Hospital to tell him. And so I did. Wasn't easy, but I told him. And so as I'm coming back, I thought I need to call Jerry and tell her that I told Mark. I mean, really
yeah,
thinking, you know,
yeah,
I
got
to call her
yeah.
and tell her that I talked to, that I told Michael, you know. And it just, it's so surreal,
it's
isn't
so
it?
It's so surreal, yeah. Yes.
I almost expected to see her because usually she's here early. And she's in
right.
her chair praying.
Right, that's
and
right.
Hi, Jerry. That's what I looked for today.
Yeah, she does. She does the prayer for us prior to the show, you
yes.
know, so that we don't screw up so bad. But we're all flying in right at the last
the
minute,
time.
Literally, and she's here already,
early.
Well in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
doing the prayers.
Well, she's in irreplaceable. Is that what they say? Irreplaceable. Is that the word?
Yeah,
irreplaceable.
Jerry, is that the word? Irreplaceable.
Yeah, she would say yes.
She would say yes.
But it is, you know, you think you, I mean, we go through this all the time, but it's surreal. How could somebody be here
and then not
one day?
Just thinking that.
And then, you know, the next day,
they're gone. And her birthday was.
It's coming up,
July mm-hmm. 22nd.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know what? She's really going to have a real nice birthday. And I remember when she said that her mother, somebody told her that her birthday falls on the feast of St. Mary Magdalene.
Right,
Mary
that's
Magdalene.
Right, yeah.
She didn't like it. She said as a child she didn't like it. She said, oh, why does it have to be that? She was a bad woman. But then later on she said she admired when she read the story.
Right. Yeah, she read the story, Lives of All the Saints,
the saints
and all that.
The Lives
you know.
Of All the Saints, yeah.
Yeah, Nick used to open the door for her every morning. Or every morning.
Every morning.
Before the 12 o'clock.
Yes.
Wow. It is a mystery.
And even when the last funerals, oh, she was at everybody's funeral.
Yeah,
like
I wrote that
and
too.
You wrote that, yeah. And she said, I feel like, you know, I'm getting ready. This is going to, soon it's going to be me.
And I have to say, quite honestly, you know, the last several funerals I've had, because she was probably since the time she came here, she goes to every funeral because she's always here.
Yes.
And she and when I say she prays for people, she really always prayed.
Yes,
so we trust that she will maybe improve the Winds of Change now from that place beyond the beyond, as we talk so often about that place beyond the beyond. She's flying high now, you know, we're still in the trenches, but, you know, do you canonize somebody after they die? You know, the church officially can, after a meticulous scrutiny, playing the devil's advocate, and I'm certain that in Geraldine's case, it would take a couple of hundred years before they would deem her. No, I'm just joking when I say that, of course. But no, she loved God. She really loved the church. She loved the Lord. She had a real relationship with God. There was no, you know, we talk often about, you know, not having to present ourselves before God with holy faces or happy or with masks, you know, but to come before God as we are. She did. And when I say that, I don't mean that's a bad thing. I think it's a very, very good thing. Because she had a heart of gold.
She did.
And but she was also no nonsense in a sense. You know, she
and people would say that they loved hearing Jerry on the radio because she said it like it
brutally
is.
Brutally honest.
Very no nonsense.
Cantankerous. I wrote, and tell me if this is not the case. Tony, you didn't see this because I wrote it this morning, and Christina, this is for the bulletin. But I speak about this the sacred farewell and just the things we've been talking about. But I said that she was also, let's see if I can find it here. I'd say my allergies are starting to flare up now, you know.
It doesn't help that you're tearing up.
No, it doesn't. You know, that's what causes it, you know. So.
Exactly.
I mean, not only that, but I said that she, somewhere here, on the radio show, Winds of Change, she was the cantankerous voice of reason, savored with humor and a mischievous smile.
That's
which
right.
People
didn't see.
No.
So, because I would give her the eye, too, you know. And I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of times when she would really start to get into that, you know.
Into character?
Where I have to say, you know, into that character, you know, the cantankerous self.
Right.
I would have to immediately kind of, in a soft way, kind of begin to disarm, you know, because I didn't know what was coming next. You know, that was the thing. I didn't know what was coming next. And then anytime Armin walked in the room, then I just thought, here we go.
She had that look.
I don't know, Father, if you remember that one time, and I gotta say this, this was the one time I was probably the most uncomfortable in this room.
What happened?
When you were making some kind of joke, I think, when we were talking about, remember Armin and Jerry?
Yeah.
And it started out, but you know how you do, sometimes you don't know if you're... You know, if it's a joke or if it's real.
But
it was
serious?
The time when we couldn't stop it. The ball started rolling.
From my end?
But no, yeah, it started rolling from your end. And then we were trying to contain Jerry.
She was getting upset.
And she was getting upset. And it's like, I usually would say something or try to make a joke or something and kind of deflect some of that.
Sure.
And I couldn't do it. And I think I saw it on your face. So you were trying, okay, well, how do I turn this around?
Go to a break.
I
have to say quite honestly that one thing is she, and this is, as God is my merciful judge, she never was ever at least visibly angry with
me.
Exactly.
Yes.
Christina, on the other hand, that's why Christine would go running to Jerry, you know. Oh, you think he's a saint? I'm going to tell you who he really is, you know.
I told her, Jerry, you know, his mother was right. Did they know you? Did you go to confession?
Did you go to confession? But she, but true to, you know, and when I say that, I mean, she was, I mean, we had, you know, we talked. I realize now, you know, how much she was a daily part of our lives many years. But there was something that I was going to.
Something with the look on her face or?
Yeah, you would, well...
Because her dad, she mentioned many times that her dad would tell her, you know, that's going to get you in trouble in life.
Yeah, she would say that a lot.
She said she could not fake what her feelings. You could just tell on the look on her face. You knew what she was feeling. What mood she was, or she was upset or whatever.
Right. But there was something that, Tony, you were saying I was going to, anyway, it's out of my mind now. So
it'll come back.
It'll come back.
Or even like on the radio when she was upset, you could even hear like the breathing. The hard breathing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she.
Okay.
Okay. No, she was. It was just fun.
It was fun.
We loved her. To be with her was fun.
Yeah.
You know?
She was very witty.
Because what is the thing? Like, if she would. And she would get angry. I mean, you know, rightfully so. Who doesn't? But she would express her whatever. And.
Or you could tell she was angry and she didn't want to. You know,
right.
Go, she just wanted to end it there. She would just say, whatever.
You know,
and that was it.
I remember that too, because I remember and being here so much, you could tell what, something would make her angry. But I can remember her.
Besides Armin.
But I can remember her toning it down and learning to tone it down.
Oh, yeah.
There'd always be that rare occasion where she would slip.
And she would restrain herself.
But she was learning restraint. And that gave me
hope.
She was very restrained.
I said, Jerry,
you're better than I am. I can't. Sometimes I lose it, Jerry. And she was pretty. I'm like, you know, you're very good.
And that's something, too, she said. I remember she said when we last spoke to her, she said, you know, the things I've done, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. I said, Jerry, you're going to go to heaven because the things we've learned from you, you know, you're here for that. That's one of the reasons you're here. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things I've learned, the things, you know, I've been exposed to. Or just watching her struggle, watching her pain, it really resonated with me that this is what it's about, you know? This is what it's about. We live sometimes for us, but we live for others.
For others.
Right.
It's that example.
Yeah.
And she even herself, she knew and she would say, I know I'm not going to go straight to heaven. I'm going to be a million years in purgatory.
I told her she'd need a little purgatory.
I don't think it's going to be a million years.
And she would say that.
There's no time or space in purgatory anyway. But I have to say quite honestly, I mean, that last week was a real purgation.
It was.
For her, you know, life. Purgatory, where is purgatory? It's right here. You know, the purgation begins here.
Here.
Yeah. I thank God. I was thinking about this on Sunday with the readings, because those were, that was a powerful reading, that gospel. Mm-hmm. Were you at the Mass?
Yeah.
Of course you were. But where Jesus said, you know, don't fear those who can kill the body. Fear rather those who can kill the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you deny me, I will, before my Father, deny you. That's when we talk about the full counsel of God. That's some of the stuff that we try to avoid because it just seems so harsh. But it's really rather commonsensical when you think of the freedom the freedom we have to respond to the invitation to salvation and to the relationship, you know, to this adventurous and mysterious and loving relationship that is that comes with a lot of strings attached. And that's one of the things I wanted to point out on Sunday is that it's about, and this is where she lived this very, very well. And this is what I think part of her frustration, as it is my frustration, and that is that we talked about this last week, the convenient atheist. Convenient because they don't want the discipline of the faith. They don't want responsibility. They don't want obligation, the religious obligations. But it comes with that. And she was somebody who would experience the same frustration that I experienced.
Sure.
She'll express it in a different way.
Sure.
When people don't take responsibility, when they don't fulfill their obligations, when they have no regard for the discipline of life, because she was a very disciplined person.
Yeah, she was.
Even
when she would get upset at somebody, of course, you know, you get upset, but she never was the type to hold grudges.
Mm-hmm.
No, she did not.
And she did not.
No, she did not.
She would, because she always said, I just want to be good.
In fact,
I want to be good.
In fact, I would even say that if she felt that she hurt somebody, yes. And when I say that, I mean, sure. Because, you know, and I would hope that we would all have that kind of sensitivity, mm-hmm. You know, that because she would speak in a strong way. She mm-hmm. had that. We heard her on the radio. Yes. She was on the radio. You could see that was who she is.
Yeah.
But it's like the thing with the face, as you said, you know, and I think she had that self-knowledge mm-hmm. that I hope I didn't offend this person. And sure. She would go out of her way to just in case you didn't understand or in case you uh-huh. didn't, if you were offended or you were, you know.
She said she wanted to be good. I just want to be good.
She was very good.
All the time I said, Jerry, you're very good.
And something that people don't know, and we're going to take a break here mm-hmm. in a second, but she went out of her way to help people.
She did.
And, I mean, she was extremely generous.
She was.
In the way that she would help people. I can't even go into the kind of assistance, the kind of aid she gave to people.
She did.
But she was a very, very generous a person. And people who really didn't know her, who might have been suffering from a sickness or this or that or mm-hmm. whatever, she would often speak about them. And you know, right. again, she'd take them into prayer. So
yes.
Anyway, well, we got to take a break. We will be back in just a moment. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change. On listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change on AM. My allergies. I'm fighting. What is it?
AM 750 WNDZ.
We'll be right back.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the Donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
You've looked for the right school for your child, but what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the values that God has established, and yet you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality of education, but by what they may be teaching, maybe undermining what you have worked so hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your questions. Academic excellence and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus Kostka School to arrange for a visit at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
Welcome back, everybody, as we're reminiscing, grieving, but upbeat, really have to be, because, you know, she's at rest, she's mm-hmm. at peace. Mm-hmm. And but Geraldine Spatz... Jerry, we're gonna call her now Jerry because Jerry. That's it. We only called her Geraldine on the radio. Right. That was her radio name, but her real name was her baptismal name was Geraldine.
Geraldine,
but
yes.
She didn't. She wasn't too fond of the name Geraldine, so that's why I made it a point to call her Geraldine on the radio.
Right.
But we call her Jerry. So, you know, God give her rest in peace. She's certainly going to be missed. So I think Oscar. I mean, Oscar's on the phone.
Hi.
Hi, Oscar.
Thank God you're only on the Armin
voice.
Came in and said, listen, Oscar's going to appear after the break, and I said, "Don't, you know, I don't want the, him to. I don't want to see him yet." You know.
So. I understand. No, well, I think it's better that I do than Jerry appears. That would be scary.
Oh, that would be.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah, that would be.
That would be. It would be. That would be welcome. More welcome. Though.
More welcome,
Oscar.
Yeah, that was good. No, I just wanted to call in and just some reminiscing. I know everybody's enough stories, but I remember when we started Winds of Change program, Jerry and I would pray the prayer that you put together for the studio.
Right.
You know, right before we went on. So I remember doing that with her. And then when I left, I remember that...
we stopped, but she continued.
Yeah, of course, you know, because I stopped praying. I understand that.
No, she continued. She continued.
She continued
to pray. And then... So that's one thing I remember. The other thing I remember is, you know, you talk about Jerry's kind of peculiar, you know, like you don't want to get on her bad side. You never want to.
Yeah, and you were quite often. You were on her bad side.
You're on the blacklist.
Whether you know it or not.
Yeah, I don't know. But unfortunately, I made the mistake of parking in her.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, we all heard about that. Well,
yeah,
go ahead.
I heard about that. I'm like, Jerry, I'm so sorry. I didn't like, because, you know, I wasn't, you know, I was new to like that. It was her spot. So. Yeah, I remember that. I was just kind of like, okay, you know, we got to be very sensitive. But no, she was always a...
What did she tell you, Oscar?
A tough exterior, but I think a very, very warm heart. And mm-hmm. I know that just took a while to kind of get to the heart, but it's there.
For you.
For me. Well,
for you, Oscar.
I mean, you were like, you could do no wrong.
Oh. I'm going
to point out over and over again that there was, you know, but she would hear nothing of it. I mean, everybody else, she'd accept criticism, but you were like... You were like untouchable. You
yeah, but well, and that's why she didn't like you so much, by the way, because you were always criticizing me, you know. To her. No, she loved you a lot. In fact, she often. I have to tell you quite honestly, Oscar, because you've been through a lot in your life in the last several years, as we all know and have mm-hmm. suffered with you in our own way. But she did too, in a very very real way.
Yeah, I know.
Although she prayed for you too.
Yeah, it's just we all have to, we all have different crosses, as you mm-hmm. always talk about. So we all.
And you were one of hers.
You
know. So, I think your biggest cross here was Armin. I really do. I think it was.
Yeah,
don't you think, Armin?
Well, but Armin, you know, is this? But remember, I always talked to Jerry. I said, Jerry, what merit is to love those that love you? You know what I mean? You got to love those that really don't like you either. So,
sure.
Good.
No,
so,
she.
It was all the way around, you know.
They later became friends.
I don't want to make Armin look like he's bad. Because whatever.
Yeah, that's what she would say. Whatever, and that
whatever.
Was it.
So, Bobby, why don't you tell? I mean, if people want to come for the wake or the funeral, are you going to announce that? Or
not yet.
We don't know details yet. So, but we will, of course, we'll announce.
The family's meeting with the funeral home today, so we don't have
that.
I don't want to give out wrong information.
Some of our listeners would love to come, and then I'll at least pay their respects.
Right now, we think it might be Friday.
They were looking at into Friday funeral at 10, but I don't want to.
Yeah, because it could be Saturday.
It could. They could change it. So
we'll
wait till
by
Thursday.
By tomorrow, we'll know. Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I know you guys are busy, but anyway, I wanted to call in and just at least express my condolences and. Memories of Geraldine or Jerry, and she'll be missed. She was an
early
addition to that family show. For
no,
sure.
And you were just right across. Maybe that's why your office was right across from hers when you were here.
Right, exactly. So, and in fact, she still. Well, we're gonna get that chair back.
Oh, I gotta tell this story.
Which one?
This was a great story.
Which one?
This was the funniest thing. Let's see. Oscar, I don't think you were here. It was, okay, so it was there's this big snowstorm. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh my God, this is hilarious.
This is funny. Do you remember this, Armin?
Yes, I remember. Armin
don't
remember.
No, he doesn't, right now he doesn't. I'm going to tell the story.
He'll remember now.
So there was this big snowstorm. She was here, happened to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I couldn't send her home in the snowstorm, right. And I wasn't going to take her home, you know. And so I said, Jerry, you know, we normally this is I'm confessing, you know,
sure.
What we don't do. But I says you can spend the night. You can stay mm-hmm. here tonight at the rectory. I said, why don't you just move over to the studio? There's a beautiful couch.
my God.
And
now you remember.
So the one and only time that she stayed the night in the rectory, I'm on the top floor. Right. This is the lower floor. So she stayed in the studio on the couch. Now, the first time and the last time ever this would happen, Armin. Why did you come that night? Can you get on the
He was fixing the sound.
Yeah, I was working on the equipment, and I wanted to make one minor adjustment, and I happened to be in town, so I thought, I'll stop in and make the adjustment.
And what time did you come in?
Barbara and I were out, and it was about probably around midnight.
Right, so he opens walks into the studio, and there's Geraldine sleeping on the couch. Can you imagine that?
And I told her she had the big, one of those little hats with the hole.
Oh, with the long hat?
That was the freakiest thing. It was so funny.
The next day I came in, and she had this look on her face, and she's like, oh.
Of all people, Armin to come in at midnight, and she's sleeping in the studio.
And then Armin must have been like, what? Yes. Both of them were like surprised. They were not expecting to see each other.
So he asked me the next day, he says, listen, is she a street person? Is she a bag lady who lives on the street? That she lives here?
No.
He didn't say that.
But it was so funny. When I came the next day, Father, I knew there was something wrong, and that like something was bothering her.
Right.
And she said, did you know what happened? I said, no, what happened? And she said, I can't believe this is embarrassing. I could just cry.
What was that?
Probably Jared.
That's Oscar laughing.
Because she didn't want, she was reluctant. She didn't want to stay in the record because that's taboo, you know? What is that? Can they hear that in Radio Land? Okay, we're going to take a break. Oscar, are you still there?
No.
No, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Okay.
He was laughing so hard, he just hung up the phone.
Anyway, but that was really funny. That was
hilarious.
Well,
she said she felt terrible.
Yeah,
she said, I feel terrible. This is what happened.
She'd bring it up every so often.
And I'm like, we would joke around.
She thought it was a plot. Anyway. All right, well, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Wisdom Change.
Wisdom Change.
On AM 750 WNDZ. We'll be right back.
Long ago. Far away, life was clear. Close your eyes.
Do you have a memory, a first memory?
Processions.
Processions.
That's what really caught my attention, yes.
Of course, you went to Catholic schools because the nuns wouldn't allow you out to play with the children, which is understandable.
Remember. Is a place from long ago. Remember, filled with everything you know.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing well, yes. Okay. For an old person, yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're always doing well. I admire you, to be honest.
Yes, Jerry's strong.
She's very strong.
Strong, yeah.
I can't say you're two young women because you're not both young.
Oh,
I can't say
you had to do that, Father. Come on.
Remember, life is never as it seems. Dreams.
Today, we celebrate the life of our good friend and Winds of Change contributor, Jerry Spatz, who passed into eternal life this Monday morning.
Sushi Milbo. XO something. I don't
that
know.
That sounds like Japan, doesn't it?
I'll go to Japan.
It wasn't. Like it was my aunts were in Mexico in the 1940s.
Say it again, please.
I don't think I would dare.
Say it in a sentence, please.
Have you ever been to Sushi Milbo?
Never heard of that place before.
Oh, yeah. Floating Gardens.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Jeez.
Jeez.
Jerry,
we miss you.
We already miss you, Jerry.
What are we going to do without you? Life goes on. You know, and by the way, that is the part of what makes it so surreal, I think, too, is today, for instance, as I was coming into the show, didn't know that we were going to go right into Armin's beautiful
tribute
to Jerry. You had to put another one of those together too. That would be there. Those are nice because she's got a lot of.
She's got a lot.
But the, you know, you're in this time of grieving. There is a grief. Grief is normal. Mm-hmm. It's natural. Sure. You know, it's part of because it's a departure. Mm-hmm. It's a separation. You can't bring them back. Mm-hmm. You know, we have faith. We know. And Christine, I said it as soon as she told me on the phone. I said, you got to be kidding. Because mm-hmm. I really thought I had this kind of intuitive sense that she wouldn't go on for long. Mm-hmm. My hope was that if she was going to end up in the nursing home, that God would spare her that. And so when Christina said Jerry passed away, and I was just getting ready on my way mm-hmm. to go to the hospital. I said, "You got to be kidding!" But then I said, "You know, thank God, really, thank God, it's over.
Her sufferings.
She's no longer bound to that broken body, because mm-hmm. it was really broken, and yet she kept going.
Did.
Just incredible, but." So today, you know, so this week, it was yesterday. Gosh, I'm trying to think. She died yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. I used to never like this. I used to think, well, you know, when people say they passed on or they passed away, I used to think, well, that's kind of a cop out, you know, just people die. But I don't think that way anymore because it really is. A passing on. It's a Passover.
Mm-hmm.
It's a passing away, but a passing on from this life to the next. You know, that's why Jesus said again, that was last Sunday's gospel, don't fear those who can kill the body, but do fear those who can kill the soul. And her soul was always disposed mm-hmm. for God, always receptive, always open, always reflecting, meditating, contemplating. I mean, she loved to read about prayer. Mm-hmm. She would always send me a lot of the readings, sure. You know, things, something that inspired her, she would send it to me. She was an avider.
She was.
Yeah.
And a religious reader. She loved religious books. She loved to read the lives of the saints. She prayed the divine office, which is what the priests and the nuns do.
Yeah. She was very obedient, even like what the command, you know, just not wanting to offend God.
Right. And very sincere about that.
Yes.
Because I was her confessor, and I really was. And she was very, very, very sincere and did not in any way want to offend God.
Yes.
And I don't think she did, you know. God, I truly believe the Lord honors our personalities. And mm-hmm. we all have our quirks and we all have our idiosyncrasies, and we all have our rough edges. Some of you have more than others. Some of you notice I say you,
yeah, I know,
Christina,
you're looking at me.
Tony.
Now that Jerry's not here,
I'm glad Father wasn't looking at me.
By the way, you as well. And Armand over here, you know, and Nick on the other side. Right. But, you know, like I said, Christina, yes, if everybody could be like me, you know, it would, can you imagine?
We would say that with Jerry every time we talk. You know, Jerry, this person really upset me. And, you know, if everybody, and we would joke, if people were like us, Jerry, this would be a better world. It would be a perfect world.
and I'm joking when I say it. But I do want to say, you know, in a public way, I apologize. And I really do. I apologize because I hope nobody mistook my humor with Jerry, because I love to joke around with her about her age.
I think people that knew you,
I hope
know you,
but you know, because you had mentioned that you didn't know. And I have that kind of.
And Jerry
but it was
knew
that
herself.
Rare moment.
She knew.
Play along because she knows
exactly. But I often wondered sometimes after the show. I thought, I hope people didn't think that I was really that disrespect, because I had deep respect.
Yeah. You know, people do come up to me all the time and say, "Well, Tony, you're always tardy for."
Well, that's true. but that's the truth. You
tardy
know?
Tony.
Right. Tardy Tony. Yeah. But
and she had the utmost respect for you too, Father.
I deeply respected her.
Yeah.
She was.
Mm-hmm.
She demanded, insisted on respect. No, she demanded respect, you know, without saying it, her ways.
Sure.
You really do. You learn. You don't. You just naturally respect somebody like that. You know. So it's we'll adjust. But so what I was going to say, now that we're at the end of the hour, is that the whole morning, Christina, I was going to say, why must we do this every day? We're going like chickens without a head all morning today.
Yes.
And it's like, it just doesn't seem like this is the way life should be, because there's life. In other words, okay, so somebody has died. Somebody has passed on. Somebody who was every day a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's passed on, passed away, passed over. I like that. Maybe Passover is better. Her procession, her journey, her pilgrimage has come to an end. And, you know, you'd kind of, you sort of want to say to the whole world, you know, can we just stop for a moment? Can we stop now and just let us, you know, grieve and let us process? Yesterday I had to get out twice just to, once was to the hospital to talk to Michael. As I said, it's coming back, and I'm thinking, I got to tell Jerry I called him, you know, but I couldn't. What am I thinking? What am I talking about? But then later I had to do the same thing, just to kind of get out and kind of process all this. But today, you know, even since the time we got up, since I got up, since you got to the office, it's just been one thing. Non-stop. So life goes on. Life goes on, and, you know, people are still getting sick, and people are still dying, and people are still in need of this or that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We've got letters to meet, bulletins, you know, deadlines and all that. And so it's like you're trying to tackle it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from all sides. And all the while, I'm thinking, but, you know, Jerry's not here.
Not here.
And you just kind of want to, well, we'll get a chance, you know, because we don't know yet the details of the funeral. The mass will be probably Friday or Saturday, I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. And we'll give those details in the days
to come.
That's the beauty of the sacred liturgy, is it does give us a chance to come away from the noise and the work and the stuff of life, and to pause. Because the Mass is enveloped by a certain sacred silence where God is present and we are present to each other, together to God. And in this case, we will be able to remember and entrust Jerry to God's incomprehensible mercy, who says, you know, come and receive what was prepared for you. To a faithful servant, she was faithful to the end. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Amen.
Ciao.
Become so obscure, it does not take that long. can you see?